Welcome to The Living Word with Chuck Davis.
First Samuel 10, 1-16, anointing. Then Samuel took a flask of oil and poured it on his head and kissed him and said, "Has not the Lord anointed you to be prince over his people Israel? You shall reign over the people of the Lord, and you will save them from the hand of their surrounding enemies. And this shall be the sign to you that the Lord has anointed you to be prince over his heritage. When you depart from me today, you will meet two men by Rachel's tomb in the territory of Benjamin at Zelzah, and they will say to you, 'The donkeys that you went to seek are found, and now your father has ceased to care about the donkeys, is anxious about you, saying, "What shall I do about my son?" Then you shall go on from there farther and come to the oak of Tabor. Three men going up to God at Bethel will meet you there, one carrying three young goats, another carrying three loaves of bread, and another carrying a skin of wine. And they will greet you and give you two loaves of bread, which you shall accept from their hand. After that you shall come to Gibeath Elohim, where there is a garrison of the Philistines. And there, as soon as you come to the city, you will meet a group of prophets coming down from the high place with a harp, tambourine, flute, and lyre before them, prophesying. Then the Spirit of the Lord will rush upon you, and you will prophesy with them and be turned into another man. Now when these signs meet you, do not do what your hand finds to do, for God is with you. Then go down before me to Gilgal, and behold, I am coming down to you to offer burnt offerings and to sacrifice peace offerings. 7 days you shall wait until I come to you and show you what you shall do." When he turned his back to leave Samuel, God gave him another heart. All these signs came to pass that day. When they came to Gibeah, behold, a group of prophets met him, and the Spirit of God rushed upon him, and he prophesied among them. And when all who knew him previously saw how he prophesied with the prophets, the people said to one another, "What has come over the son of Kish? Is Saul also among the prophets?" And a man of the place answered, "And who is their father?" Therefore it became a proverb, "Is Saul also among the prophets?" When he had finished prophesying, he came to the high place. Saul's uncle said to him and to his servant, "Where did you go?" And he said, "To seek the donkeys." And when we saw that they were not to be found, we went to Samuel. And Saul's uncle said, "Please tell me what Samuel said to you." And Saul said to his uncle, "He told us plainly that the donkeys had been found, but about the matter of the kingdom of which Samuel had spoken, he did not tell him anything." We're going to see that Saul comes into his kingship in stages. There's an anointing. This wasn't just unique to Israel. The Hittites had a practice of anointing their kings, setting them apart. There are parallels to Moses and Gideon in this story. The declaration, "I have seen their affliction, I have heard their calls, I'm sending you as a leader." The Lord taps a leader on the shoulder to intervene on behalf of the people. And Samuel takes Saul aside and anoints him for his task. Interesting, the language here, he anoints him to be prince. We're going to see that Samuel's word gets confirmed in these details of people coming with bread and different details about prophets coming off of a hill. But what we see is the primary worker here is God, because when Saul turns from Samuel, the word says God gave him another heart. Later, the Spirit rushes on him and he prophesies. Interesting beginning to this soon-to-be king of Israel. The so what of this passage is kind of a spoiler alert, because the Saul story is going to end a little bit sadly, or very sad, I would say. But Saul starts with all the right equipment. His beginning is very similar to David's beginning, but they take two different paths. The underlying so what of this passage is a call to finish well. So the now what is, how do we finish well? we're going to see that Saul gets in trouble when he gets out of his lane, when he doesn't stay within the confines of what God has called him to do. We're going to see that he doesn't keep his confession current. He's going to have excuses rather than acknowledging his failure. He's going to somehow allow the Holy Spirit to leak out of him. Eventually, the Spirit will leave him completely. He's going to be somewhat of a paranoid king, not humble, but always comparing himself to the new kid on the block, David, who will come into the story soon. He does wait on the Lord. He inquires of the Lord, but he doesn't wait for the Lord's answer. It seems that he's impetuous in his movements and taking matters into his own hands. And so the declaration before us is to guard our way. Keep step with the Spirit. Don't get out of line, because God is the one who guarantees the end result. Father, thank you. Your scripture tells us that these things have been written down as an example for us, that we would find hope. And so, Lord, wherever we find ourselves today, we pray that you would make us alert to what will bring us to a closer relationship with you, where we can cooperate with you, releasing the life of Christ through us. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.